Welcome back to the AgeTurners.com podcast. The goal of these podcasts is to strengthen you and equip you that you might be one whom God can use to turn this age. My name is Ricky Acosta, and today we will continue in the line that we call Flee and Pursue. And with today's episode, we will begin a new series on the matter of living a normal Christian life in view of the Lord's coming. As we've mentioned in the past, in the Bible, in the 66 books of the Bible, there are a few books that were written specifically to young people and to young believers. There are the books of Timothy in the New Testament, as well as Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, we have the book of Ecclesiastes. And in Ecclesiastes 12:1, it says, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth." This book was written by an elderly King Solomon, who had passed through his whole life not lacking anything, but realizing and experiencing that everything under the sun is vanity. So there's a charge to the young generation. Don't waste your time in the vain things, in the things under the sun. We should remember now, while we're still young, remember now our Creator in the days of our youth. In the New Testament, we have the books of 1 and 2 Timothy. Paul writes these letters to his young co-worker. In the first book, in chapter 4, verse 12, he charges Timothy not to despise his youth. And in 2 Timothy, chapter 2, he charges Timothy to flee the youthful lusts. So clearly, these books were written to young people, and young people everywhere can receive the benefit of these charges and these warnings. But in addition to these few books, we also have some books that were written to young believers. And these are the books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, particularly 1 Thessalonians. We know that the background of the letter written to the Thessalonians was that Paul and some brothers, they visited Thessalonica for three Sabbaths, for a period of about 3 weeks. And in that short time, they preached the gospel and they raised up a church. And after some time, they wrote a letter to these young believers to encourage them and to strengthen them. And young or new believers everywhere can benefit from the words in these books, particularly 1 Thessalonians. And those who are shepherding new and young believers can learn from the pattern of the Apostle Paul, from the writings or the details in this first book, in these five chapters of 1 Thessalonians. This was Paul shepherding to the young believers. And it is most interesting to note that to these young believers, to these new believers, in every chapter, Paul wrote something concerning the Lord's second coming. We might think that the matter of the Lord's coming should be something that we hold off on in speaking to new believers after they mature some. But Paul, in his writing, chapter after chapter, he wrote concerning the Lord's coming. Of course, when Paul was writing this letter, he did not write chapters and verses. He was just writing a letter out of his concern to shepherd these young believers. And every few sentences, he mentioned something about the Lord's coming. He would write some charges and some other matters and then come back to the matter of the Lord's coming over and over again. Of course, the verse and chapter references were added later for readability. And according to the chapter divisions, we can see in every chapter, Paul makes a charge to the young believers to be ready for the Lord's coming, even to live their lives today in the light of the Lord's coming. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, you're not too young to have such a realization, to have such an aspiration, that we all may live our lives in the light of the Lord's coming. At the end of chapter 4, Paul mentions the matter of the Lord's coming as a kind of comfort and strengthening to these young saints. And then at the beginning of chapter 5, it's mentioned as a kind of warning and incentive. In chapter 5, verse 1, and the verses that follow, they read, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need for anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know perfectly well that like a thief in the night, so the day of the Lord comes. When they say peace and security, then sudden destruction comes upon them, just as birth pangs to a woman with child, and they shall by no means escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as the rest do, but let us watch and be sober." That's verses 1 through 6. Oh, brothers and sisters, the day of the Lord is coming like a thief in the night. And Paul is charging us that that day should not overtake us like a thief. What is the analogy here? It's that a thief comes when you least expect him. And so we should be those who are living, expecting the Lord's coming, even preparing for the Lord's coming. And also not sleeping spiritually, but watching and being sober, not deluded by the things of this world. Then in verse 9, it says, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to the obtaining of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." Brothers and sisters, it is God's intention, it is God's desire that we would obtain full salvation. Of course, once we receive the Lord, we are saved eternally. That's in our spirit. Our spirit is saved eternally. But we need more salvation. We need full salvation. We need the salvation that's in our soul, and we need the salvation of our body. God's salvation is a full salvation. And God did not appoint us to wrath, but to the obtaining of full salvation. And this implies that God wants us to make it. He wants us to be ready for his coming. And so, the final verses in the book of 1 Thessalonians, they actually give us the way to be ready for the Lord's coming. It's wonderful that in 1 Thessalonians, Paul mentions the Lord's coming so much to be a kind of incentive and a warning to the young believers, but he concludes the book with some practical ways to be ready to prepare for the Lord's coming. And that really is the burden of this series. We start with verse 16, chapter 5, verse 16. "Always rejoice," 17, "unceasingly pray," and 18, "in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Dear saints, these three verses and the verses that follow are really the ways for us to prepare for the Lord's coming, the ways for us to have a normal Christian life, a normal daily life. And it all begins with enjoying the Lord. Always rejoice. Always rejoice. Brothers and sisters, we should have a rejoicing heart. We should enjoy the Lord in our spirit all the time. One might think when they hear this, oh, this is too high a standard. I can't reach such a standard. Well, to the Apostle Paul, I believe this matter was very practical and very tangible. You know, there's a sister verse to this verse that's found in the book of Philippians. In Philippians 4:4, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." I think it's interesting to look at the background of this verse in Philippians. If we know the background of the church in Philippi, I think it makes this verse very meaningful. You know, again, the book of Philippians, it was a letter that Paul, the apostle, wrote to the church, to the saints that he had visited, to whom he had preached the gospel, and they got saved and they were raised up as a church. And then, after leaving them, he wrote to them out of his love and concern to shepherd them. And he wrote to the Philippians, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Well, if you read Acts 16, you will see that the church in Philippi was raised up through Paul and Silas and Luke and Timothy's preaching. These four brothers went to this city. Actually, it was their first stop in Europe. And they met a woman. Her name is Lydia. And Lydia's family got saved. Then they used her home as a kind of base for their preaching. And in further preaching, Paul and Silas, they got arrested. And they were put in a prison. I know many of you know this story. And they were put in stocks. And at midnight, probably in the darkness, they were praising the Lord while singing. They were singing hymns at midnight. They were rejoicing always. They were enjoying the Lord in such a terrible situation. They didn't wait for the situation to change. There, in the middle of that dungeon, in the darkness, and at midnight, they had the enjoyment of the Lord. Just at that time, of course, there was an earthquake, and the jailer, fearing that the prisoners were all escaping, was going to kill himself, and Paul calls out to him and says, "Don't harm yourself, and we're all here." And the man came and said, "Man, what shall I do to be saved?" That jailer must have been touched by Paul and Silas's singing and praising. No doubt, he never had a custody over prisoners like this, who would be singing at midnight in a dungeon. So he was touched by them, and he wanted whatever it was that they had and were enjoying. So we know that that jailer brought them home, washed them up, and then the whole family received the Lord. And in Acts 16:33, this is the verse that we use as the basis for household salvation. The whole household was saved. Well, don't you think that later, when Paul wrote to the Philippians and wrote this, what he wrote in chapter 4, verse 4, about always rejoicing, rejoice in the Lord always, don't you think that they would have remembered Paul's experience when he came to preach the gospel to them? How Paul and Silas could enjoy the Lord in such a terrible situation. Brothers and sisters, regardless what our situation is, we can still enjoy the Lord. The Lord is with us in our spirit. We can call, we can pray, we can contact the Lord. The Lord can be our supply. The Lord can be our grace. Oh, that every one of us would practice to rejoice always, to rejoice in the Lord always, that the enjoyment of the Lord would not be some kind of just a phrase to us, not just comes some kind of terminology, but our actual and practical experience. Always rejoice. This may sound too simple, but dear brothers and sisters, this is actually the first way to prepare for the Lord's coming. When we enjoy the Lord this way, He saturates our soul, He saves our soul in whatever situation that we're in. He may not save us out of the situation immediately, but our inner being is saved, and we're saved from anxiety, we're saved from our anger, we're saved from our hopelessness. Oh, always rejoice. May this become our daily and normal experience. Well, that's all the time that we have for today. We will continue in looking into the other verses next time. Brothers and sisters, always rejoice. May the Lord lead us into such a daily enjoyment of Himself for His return. Oh, Lord Jesus, we love You. Oh, Lord, make Your home in our hearts a little bit more today. For ageturners.com, this is Ricky Acosta.